If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In keeping with our spirit-directed theme of family, if we go back to Genesis, we'll see the primary structure of the family and understanding that whatever God put in Genesis was meant to be carried through the rest of the Bible because Genesis is the beginning. The perversion of God's plan comes because of sin, but the initial concept of the plan was revealed in Genesis. Even salvation is revealed in Genesis. Now, our primary passage was Proverbs 17:17, and the Message Bible, I kind of like that translation just for this passage. It says, friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Now, that concept there suggests that there are times when even your friends will abandon you, but families stick together through all kinds of trouble. It's really a very powerful passage because it tells us something that's important. The first thing it tells us is friends are good. They really are. But there are boundaries to friendship. As the Lord moves me forward in ministry, interestingly enough, I am discovering boundaries with friends in Christ. This is the weird thing. I'm discovering boundaries with friends that I thought were in Christ, but the guys that I grew up with, there are no boundaries. So when the Bible says friends were born for adversity, the guys I grew up with, it's almost as if our relationship has never severed. We may naturally drift due to different interests, but they'll come here, I'll see them, I'll go down there to see them. We'll connect. We'll go out and do things. But there's a healthy respect for who I am, and I respect who they are. I'd love for them all to get saved, you know, and come here and create. They'd be new adjutants. The ones I have are great. But these guys, you know, a lot of them knew me since kindergarten, first grade. We still connect. But some of the ones that were in Christ, as God began to take me different levels, they changed because ministry is extremely competitive. I don't get it, and that's probably because I don't embrace it like a lot of others. I had a good career before God called me. And so many people find their identity in ministry. And so when it seems like someone is going to come in and do a better job, there's the tendency to become jealous and guard your ministry. Me, I'd like to give it all away because it all belongs to God. And He's given me a season to run with it. And when that season is over, then God equips others to take it the next level. It's a fool who thinks that they're going to stay in the same position for the rest of their lives. If I stop expanding, and at some point you do, you're going to die because you can't rise above your leader. And if God has designated that I stop growing at level 6, that's where you're going to stop. And that's what's going to make you start looking for another church. Now, I just use level 6. Level 6 could be, you know, I don't know where. But see, we often find pastors are notoriously afraid of reaching their apex, their limit. I'm in the twilight of pastoral ministry. It simply means that you come to a place where God says, all right, Eric, it's been almost 30 years that you've been pastoring this church, serving as the founding pastor. A generation is coming that needs more. They need more care. This new generation needs more care. than the baby boomer generation that I started with. Because the newer generation, they're a little more neurotic. And the reason for that is because they are so culturally driven. The baby boomers were not culturally driven. They were systemically driven, which meant that once they established an ideology, they stayed with it. That's why those grandparents and parents had a certain level of discipline for their children, and they were not swayed by the culture. If DHS had told our grandparents, you can't beat your child, they would have just gone to jail. But the newer generation are swayed by the cultural realities, and as a result of that, the children are born without sustainable discipline. The discipline, you know, is like the leaves on the trees, it shifts. Because parents have become more concerned about giving their children friendship than direction. The Bible says, train up your child. But the idea is, once you develop true friendship, that friendship can be long-lasting. It can be life-lasting. It really can. But the reality is, there are still boundaries. But he says here that families stick together in all kinds of trouble. That means that in a family, you can commit murder and your family will still try to get you bailed out. And people that are outside of the family and say, why are you doing that for them? You know they're no good. And family say, yeah, but that's still family. And some people will say, well, you know, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Amen. And that's a good thing. And as one goes through the scriptures, they become painfully aware that God has ordained family to teach spiritual principles as well as good citizenship. Parents should be concerned about making their children good citizens. Why? Because if they're taught to obey the laws of the land, then they will easily make the transition to obey the laws of God. The reason why I did not have a problem submitting to God as my father was because I had a father who made me submit to him. All Christianity is the extension of what you've been exposed to. I would hazard a guess that that's why many people today have a problem connecting with and dealing with God because they've had improper relationships with their earthly fathers. And if you had an absent father and never connected with your father, then it is difficult, I dare say almost impossible, to connect with God as a father. You are, as an adult, the sum total of your childhood experiences. And if that is not true, then why does God insist that we train children? And why is the promise that if they're trained properly, they will not depart? And I know some of you are saying, no, that's not true, Pastor, because I trained my child, but they departed. So what the Pentecostal people did, as usual, they took a passage of scripture, found a part of it that doesn't apply, and created something new. We did that in two scriptures that come to mind. The first one is the will of God. We came up with a permissive will of God. The Bible says, you know, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So at some point in our Christian and theological evolution, we came to this assumption that God has a permissive will. And so people would say, well, if you're not in the perfect will of God, you're in his permissive will. But there isn't one shred of scripture that justifies permissive will because God is not schizophrenic. He only has one will, and that will is perfect. You say, well, what happens when I'm not in the will of God? Listen to this very carefully. You are always in the will of God. The problem is you may not be submitting to his direction contained in the will. Someone will say, you're out of the will of God. Then how can you say I'm out of the will of God when God is sovereign? He already knew I'd walk over there. He ordained that straying moment to bring me back down this aisle. If you are confident in the supreme will of God, you will know you are never out of his will. Whatever's happening, he's ordaining. He's allowing for your greater good. Now, you got to think about that. Let it soak in for a while. You'll get it. You'll be all right in a while. And I'm going to tell you why that's so important. Because you will never be comforted until you understand that your life is guided by God. It was guided by God before you became a Christian, and it's guided by God after you become a Christian. So someone will say, you're out of the will of God. What does that mean? It means you're not doing what God wants you to do. What does that mean? Someone says, oh, Abraham was out of the will of God when he went over and made the baby with Hagar. We say Abraham was out of the will of God when he went over there because God... No, there's a difference. He was disobedient. Because if he was out of the will of God, God would have simply not let that child come into life. But what did he tell the mother? Your boy ain't gonna die. I made him a great nation. If you understand your father, now I didn't understand everything about my father until I became older, right? You know how they would say, you understand when you grow up. There's a lot of things I still don't understand. But there are some things that did come into clarity. Well, there are some things about God you need to understand. Your father is not complex. He deals in complexity. But God is basically simple. I just want you to love me and keep my commandments always, and it'll be well with you. That's all I want. I don't need you doing all this theological stuff you're doing and memorizing all these scriptures and going around winning Bible trivia games. That don't make me happy. What makes me happy is when you love me and just keep my commandments. He said, then it's going to be well. He said, in fact, this is so dynamic that not only will it be well with you, but with your children and your children's children forever in perpetuity. It's very simple, saints. God doesn't need you to be a great preacher. He just needs you to live what you preach. And if the vehicle is clean, then the water will taste good. All the water, if they take my Pinto water and they put my Pinto water in a dirty glass, then my Pinto water will taste bad. But because they have the sense to put my Pinto water in a clean glass and then they cover it with the Holy Spirit, to make sure after they put it in a clean glass, they make sure that nothing from the outside gets in until I'm ready to drink it. Every time you come to church, every day you read the word of God, that's the Holy Spirit covering you so that nothing in the world gets into you, and God moves that cover. Do you know that being used in ministry is God moving that cover, using you, but then covering it right back up so that nothing from that world gets in you, because your Father wants relationship with you more than use you for ministry. In fact, some of you in here right now are laboring under this improper assessment that because I'm not doing ministry, I'm not doing anything for God. But the Bible said you are to be a light. You are to be the salt. And if your light is shining and people are seeing Jesus, you are still getting stars in your crown. Shine on.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11215A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise it.